हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु माविद्विषावहै। ॐ शांति शांति शांतिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सरि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ओके ओके सो देन Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 4, Bhakti is superior to all other sadhanas, Anucheda 106. Bhakti is affirmed by not respecting processes which do not take shelter of bhakti. Right? So if you're neglecting the ones that don't have bhakti, right, and then performing bhakti, then that means that you're confirming that bhakti is the main one, right? So that he's giving the various what do you call it? Yeah, shlokas. Then, and Prabhupada's purport. Lord Sri Krishna, when he was personally present at Brajadham, stopped the worship of the demigod Indra and advised the residents of Braja to worship their business and have faith in God, right? Because their business is the cows, right? So worship the cows and Govardhan Hill, like that. Worshipping the multi-demigods for material gain is practically a perversity of religion. Right, because it's practically a perversity, because religion means that you're applying something according to its nature. Right? So you're applying it according to its nature. You're doing the worship of Upasanakanda according to what it is. You're worshiping, dealing with the demigods and all that. They're working with these things. They have that potency of the Lord. But it's practically a perversity because it's actually meant for Krishna. Right? So then anything we do, even if we're doing our varnashram duties, but we're doing it for ourselves, that makes it a perversity. We're doing it for Krishna, it's not. So this point is sometimes not well understood. It's those who practice the Vedic culture, you know, as a natural you know, lifestyle, then the subtleties may be easier to catch, but sometimes there's more attachment to the element of goodness and giving up goodness for pure goodness. Same way as that those who aren't necessarily used to following it, then being attached to passion and ignorance, then they're worried about the benefits that they'll get from there, the identities and everything, to give that up for a situation of goodness, trying for pure goodness. You know, or you see is that, then if they do acknowledge that there is that consciousness purified, that there's something higher, then they start getting gravitating towards goodness. But because of the background of passion, ignorance, they don't know how to actually situate themselves in goodness. So they just replace externals with externals. So I do some yoga, I like that. You know, I'm a vegan. I'm a nice guy, like that. I'm not too fanatic. You know, I'm not too political and all that. Not too worried about money. Like that. And so therefore then I'm in the mode of goodness. And so that's good. And that's actually devotional. So the point is this here is that you're taking religion. It's supposed to be used in one way, but using it in the wrong way. Just like, let's say, just like for us, the standard one of we're cooking using all the techniques. We're doing it for Krishna. The karmis are also cooking using exact same techniques, but not for Krishna. So even though they're following the religion of cooking properly, because cooking, everything is meant for Krishna because it comes from Krishna, it is Krishna. The whole potency, as he mentions in the Gita, that whatever you're performing, then the ingredient, the situation is him, the ingredients is him, the person performing the activity is him, things to be performed, you know, the particular dynamic religious activities to be formed as Krishna, the results that you get as Krishna, the experiences you get are Krishna. So whatever it is that's there. So now if you're using Krishna cooking for Krishna, then that's religion in its proper form as subservient to bhakti. But when cooking is not used for Krishna, it's a perversity of religion. Because even though you're cooking properly, technically according to the mechanics, but if you're not using it for what it's supposed to be used for. So this kind of subtlety is not necessarily always appreciated. We're used to more gross kind of forms, you know, where you know, it's just that the external itself is what is right or wrong, right? It means you're going to have those, you know, the grosser ones and all that, you know, like we're not eating meat and things like that. But then the whole point is then there's the subtleties, and those are the ones that are a problem. So these religious elements become a problem because we see that that's what's the actual right and wrong. When it's not, when you're using connection with Krishna, that's right. When you're not, that's wrong. At the same time, as you want something to work properly, there is the how it works, the religion of how it works, the dharma of the thing. And so by the dharma of the thing, it works in that way. Then that's called piety. But piety is supposed to be used for Krishna. If it's not, it's perverse. Right? So that's the point that we see, is that there's going to be the grossest point is that everything has to be connected. Then the subtle points that are already pious in that, then that they have to be done for Krishna. Otherwise, even though it's pious, it's still perverse, because actual piety is serving Krishna and impiety is not serving Krishna. So therefore, on the material platform, piety is actually impiety. It's nicer impiety. You know, just like you have animals, there's nice animals, and then there's not nice animals, but there's still animals. Like that. So then, yeah, so this sort of religious activity has been condemned at the very beginning of the Bhagavad as Kaitava Dharma. So it's cheating religion because it's not what the religion's meant for. It's not what it's for, right? It's meant for something else, but you're using it for your intent is wrong, even though mechanics may be proper. So the point is mechanics are mechanics, situations are situations, and relationships between the various items, elements in the situation and their part in the mechanics and the result that you can get, those are fixed things, those are laws. But now the point is it's about relationship, who are you doing it for? So when it's for Krishna, then it becomes proper. And when it's not, even though it's a recommended activity, but it's not for Krishna, it's perverted. Okay, so there's only one religion in the world to be followed by one and all, and that is Bhagavad Dharma, right? It means that everyone should be elevating themselves to the point of that they're worshiping the Supreme Lord. That's the point. It's Krishna, so therefore worshiping him, that's the point. Worshiping at lower levels, yeah, it is worship of him, but it's actually meant to come to that platform. But if not, then they should see it in the context of where it lies. Or the religion which teaches one to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else, right? So it's not just there's the Supreme Absolute, you know, they say God's a person, but we're talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just the Supreme Person. That's Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what you try to get to. Srimad Bhagavatam 127, right? So anything other than that, then it's not bhakti, right? So even you're doing your particular religious activities properly, you're doing your dharmas, your occupational duties, your ashram properly, you know, you're following all the, you know, local, you know, customs and all that properly. But if it's not front for Krishna, it's a waste of time. Okay. Oh, here we are. No, George Brahma Shiva. The next page. Okay, Shiva speaks to the Pachetas. Okay, it's actually on 22. Surpassing them, okay, so we put we have the saintly Brahmins with all their great qualities. And so you can say that they're devotees, you know, because technically speaking, the Brahmins are devotees on one level, but it's just What level are they? What level do they apply themselves? Like the smartas who worship Vishnu, then they're devotees because they're Vaishnavas. But at the same time, as they don't see the difference between Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, or the demigods, so they in their Panchopasana, they see them all as equal. They may see other living entities also as equal, right? But the point is they're also seeing these different manifestations of the absolute as equal when they're not, because Vishnu is the supreme. He's the source. Brahma and Shiva aren't the source. They don't manifest everything. All the energies are not there. They may have a certain aspect that they take care of, but they're not supplying the energies. That's Krishna, right? So then he's making the point in Bhagavatam 12:10-20-22, but surpassing that conception, we worship you, pure Vaishnavas. We go here to the pure Vaishnavas because they're worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what makes them unique, right? Okay. Surpassing them, Tut, we worship you, Markandeya and others who are pure Vaishnavas. Shiva speaks to the Prachetas. You devotees are dear to me, just as the Supreme Lord is dear to me. The devotees hold me dear, just as they hold the Lord dear. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24-30, right? So, in other words, because you hold the Lord dear, you hold the devotees dear. You know, so the Pachetas, they worship the Lord, so therefore Shiva holds them as worshipable, and they are worshiping the Lord, and because Shiva worships the Lord, the Pachetas are holding Shiva as worshipable. So the whole point is the Lord and his devotees, you know, the pure devotee, they're worshipable. Right? That's Bhagavatam 4:24-30. Then next quotation, Shiva. Oh, gentle Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Lord is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living entities. Therefore, let me drink this poison. May all the living entities have auspicious existence because of me. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:7-40. Right. So here it's about he's trying to please the Lord by doing his service. So this poison is going to, you know, destroy the universe. So Shiva has the power to drink this poison. And so therefore he'll do that as service to Vishnu to protect all his living entities. Right. So it's the bhakti element that makes it special. Shiva describes Markandeya as a pure Vaishnava. Quote, surely this saintly Brahmana does not desire any benediction, not even liberation, for he has attained pure devotional service unto the inexhaustible Lord. Shiva Bhagavatam 12:10-6. Because Shiva appeared in his heart, Markandeya speaks of Shiva as non-different from the Lord when his samadhi breaks. Shiva Bhagavatam 12:10-13. In the end, Shiva distinguishes the Lord from himself. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:12-20. Right. So even though they're seeing on this level of that, it's all the Lord and his potencies, you still have to keep that vision that, but it's Krishna still the Supreme Personality of God. He's the source of all other things. They are non-different. So there's the difference and non-difference. So here's they're seeing that, in a positive Vaishnava way, the non-difference with the Lord, you know, or like we see Madhvacharya about the difference from the Lord, or that there is difference with the Lord, and you can also see it as they're the same. But this simultaneously seeing it one and different, that's the important element. That's actually the better position of the understanding, because that then gives rise to all variety of the rasas. This other just basically is the Shanta rasa, right? Difference of the Lord from Shiva is also stated, right? So here we're pointing out difference because they're not in as worshipable position. They're worshipable. Vaishnavas are worshipable, but they're worshipable because of worshiping the Lord. So they're less worshipable, you know, in that kind of case. Krishna puts them higher than him. So therefore, we worship them because they please Krishna. Therefore, we want to please Krishna by worshiping Vaishnavas. That pleases Krishna more than if we worship directly. So therefore, we worship Vaishnavas along with Krishna, and then everything's done. Difference of the Lord from Shiva is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:24. Smoke is superior to dull wood and fire. Okay. Smoke is superior to dull wood, and fire, sacred to the Vedas, is superior to smoke. Similarly, Rajas is superior to Tamas, and Sattva is superior to Rajas, since it is favorable for realizing the Lord, right? So his point here is that the Sattva is the superior because that is favorable for realizing the Lord. So what is being given here is Tamas, that's what Lord Shiva is the Lord of. He takes care of that quality. But then superior to that's going to be the mode of passion, and then that's the mode of goodness. Shiva also says, the person who desires to see me, Shiva, or Brahma, should first see powerful Vasudeva, Brahma Purana, 226.46. So if you want to see Shiva, because you want to see him, but who is he? He's a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, you have to see the Lord first, and here is the Lord's devotee. Right? So if you just see, oh, here's Shiva, and then you have to think of that, then you're not really seeing Shiva. Shiva is Vaishnav. I thought he identifies, that's his identity. So just like you see that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Balaram is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead, right? And then he expands as Sankarshan, Pajumna, and Anirudh Vasudeva. So then from that Sankarshan, then is expanding, then is expanding that aspect of Lord Shiva, right? So then that expansion, then he identifies as a devotee. He's not identifying as Godhead, because he's dealing with destruction, right? So that destruction means the environment, the elements, the technical things like that. So it's connected with Sankarshan, because with Sankarshan, then with Prajumna and Aniruddha, then you can have ideas of what to do. Goals that you want to get is Vasudeva, you perform that aspect. And so it gets there. Shiva means that the activity destroys those situations or those facilities or those results. So just as something's created, then it will be destroyed. So they go together. So in the material world, the Mahatattva, then, or technically the Ekapada, because the Lord is not within this. So he's identifying, I am the creator, maintainer, destroyer. So that destroyer part, that's Shiva. Right? So that as so he's dealing with the situation and all that. So that's why then when you're dealing with the higher realms, then he's dealing with the situation of protecting, the environment, protecting Vrindavan, protecting the Rasa dance. So he protects the situation. And then his Shakti then is taking care of the mechanics of the situation. And so then that's being then taking, and then that is being done by the devotees for the pleasure of Krishna, right? So then you're dealing with the topmost level there. So Krishna performs his pastimes and that. So Shiva has his place, but it's more of a hidden thing. You don't really see him in the Vrindavan pastimes. It's more of a hidden aspect. There may be some worship or something like this, but he's not a prominent role. Right? He takes on more of a prominent role as you go down the whole expansions. As the expansions go, when you get to Karana Dakshai Vishnu, then you see Sada Shiva, and then if you get the Garbha Dakshai, then you're going to have Rudra, like that. This means that by knowing the Lord, all others are known. Shiva should be worshipped as a Vaishnava. If one has to worship Shiva in some circumstance, some Vaishnavas say that one should worship the Lord within Shiva's form. Right? So then, as Paramatma to Shiva, then he's there, and so therefore you're worshiping. So, in other words, if you have the thing, you worship the Lord, then offer the remnants to Lord Shiva, then that works very comfortably. But if it's just Shiva himself, then and you don't have that kind of an opportunity, you understand that it's you're worshiping Paramatma within Shiva, right? Just like the aspect of Indra, the actual Indra is Paramatma. He's the Indra. He's the Varuna. He's the Agni. He's the Vayu, right? There is a story in the Vishnu Dharmotra. A great devotee Brahmana named Vishrakshena wandered about the earth. One day entered the edge of a forest. The son of the village leader came and said to him, "Who are you?" When the Brahmin identified himself, the son said, "Today my head hurts. I cannot worship Shiva, my worshipable deity. You do the worship in my place." The Brahmana answered, I am a Brahmana dedicated to Vishnu. I should worship only Vishnu. I worship no one else. Therefore, go away quickly." Vishnu Dharma 3, 354, 12 through 13. Okay. Then, when he said this, the son raised a sword to cut off his head. The Brahmana considered it not desirable to die by his hand, said, "I will go there." Going there, they thought in his mind, "Because he increases ignorance, for this reason, Shiva is in Tamaguna. The Shringa should appear here to stop the worship of Shiva, since he will remove ignorance along with destruction of Shiva's associates. Just as the sun rises with its rays, destroys ignorance. I will worship the Shringa in the Shiva deity, since Shiva's worshippers have worshipped him in this form." Right, so technically, they're worshipping, everything is Krishna, so they're worshipping in their ignorance and identifying them as the external energy, they're worshipping Krishna as through the form of Shiva. So he's going to worship Nrisimha Dev through that form, but worship Nrisimha, not stop at the form, right? Taking a handful of flowers, he said, "I offer respects to Nrisimha." The son of the village leader raised his sword in anger. Suddenly the linga split, and Nrisimha appeared and killed the son with his followers. There is a Nrisimha deity in the south named Linga Spota, exploding linga. Thus the devotees worship Shiva as a Vaishnava, and some worship Vishnu in the Shiva deity. Right, so you either worship him as a Vaishnava, or you can worship him in that context of that the Lord is who is the Paramatma. He's actually, it's his potency that makes the personality who they are and what they can do. So Madhvacharya talks about that aspect. We talk about him as a devotee, but you have to be able to distinguish, the aspect of his difference. Thus, the devotees worship Shiva as a Vaishnava, and some worship him in the Shiva deity. It is said, quote, "After worshiping Shiva for thousands of births, destroying all sins, the intelligent person becomes a Vaishnava." Right? So thousands of births, then the intelligent person becomes a Vaishnava. In other words, when the opportunity comes up, he hears about it because of association and from the scriptures, and then he understands this, then he becomes a devotee. So he's been purified to the point where he could understand this by the grace of Shiva. But now it's the point is he has to be intelligent and take that option. Just like we come in contact with the devotees by Krishna's grace. We want to know what's the absolute. We have no idea what's the absolute. We come in contact with the devotees. And if we're intelligent, we take up what the devotees have offered, in the way of their, the devotional service to Krishna. And the process of chanting the holy name, if we take it up, then we become a devotee. That's intelligent. And if we don't, then we're less intelligent. But in any case, we've met the devotees. There's a Jnata Sukriti. And hopefully then later on, then it'll come up. So if we're still, it's okay, either neutral or favorable, but not intelligent enough to take it up, then, things just naturally progress forward. If we coming in contact, we see that and understand what it is and then reject it, that this is not the thing, I don't want to be involved in this and all that. That becomes, then you become a Naradhama. Still, by the Lord's mercy through the Vaishnavas, you could, in contacting them again, gradually take it up. But otherwise, one could slow down one's devotional service. That's why then it's important then, in preaching that you're trying to make a favorable impression upon the person, but that's done by impression in Krishna consciousness and bhakti, not so much the external. Right? You know, if it's necessary, the external element is there, but for the general people, it's not necessary. We just give, as we are, give Krishna consciousness. The difference between the devotees of Nrisimha and Shiva is great. So this is from Nrisimhatapani Upanishad. Quote, a person with a sacred thread is worth 100 without a thread. One householder is equal to 100 persons with threads. One vanaprastha is equal to 100 householders. One sannyasi is equal to 100 vanaprasthas. One worshipper of Shiva is equal to 100 sannyasis. One knower of the Atharva Shira is equal to 100 Shiva worshippers. One who studies in the Shringatapini Upanishad is equal to 100 persons who study the Atharva Shiras. One who chants in the Shringa Mantra is equal to 100 students of the Upanishad. The Shringatapini Upanishad 5.8. Yeah, so we see this. Yeah, this is how it goes. The person with a thread, that means the brahmachari, he gets the thread. So a householder is equal to 100 of them, right? Then the vanaprastha, 100 of them, sannyasi, 100 of them, one who worships Shiva, you know, then that's even higher because the one is, because you're dealing now with the features of the Lord, incarnations of the Lord, but you're not dealing with the highest one. Then the Atharva Shira, I'm not sure exactly what Atharva Shira is, but it seems to be the head of the Atharva. Like that. And then the one who studies Nrisimha, then that'll be more. And one who studies Nrisimha Mantra is even better than that. Because you've studied the Upanishad, then you should worship. Therefore, then every day we see, we have after the Artics, we chant Nrisimha prayers. We're chanting Nrisimha Mantra. So that means that's the best. That's why then it's equal to 100 students of the Upanishad. Right? So it's not us, it's the Lord, right? Worshipping Shiva independently brings the curse of Bhrigu. So, okay. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam. When Nandishwar had spoken, Bhrigu, hearing the curse, uttered a Brahman's curse in response on behalf of the Brahmanas, which was difficult to avoid. Bhava Vrata Dhara Yecha Yecha Tan Samanu Vrataha Pashantinas te bhavantu such chastra paripantinaha. Let those who take vows to satisfy Lord Shiva and who follow such and who follow such persons become heretics and become obstacles to the genuine scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:2, 27-28. Because when Krishna created the scriptures and Dharma, you know, manifest them, then he created the Brahmins to protect them, right? So now we see is that if we get distracted by this, then they become obstacles to the genuine scriptures. They become heretics. So therefore, one should see is those who work like that. So you see the Shaivites against the Vaishnavas. But Shiva himself worships Vishnu. So are they actually proper, right? Means that they are in such an improper state of mind and consciousness, Shiva is so kind of them because no one else takes care of them because they have that heretical aspect. So he's kind to them. So therefore they become part of the Gunas. You know, his people that they appreciate him, but not necessarily anybody else. And so then that's going to be a problem on their behalf. And so then they get in the way of the genuine scriptures. They interpret them wrong, deal with them wrong, all these different aspects. So we see, yes. That's why you see Shankaracharya, who is Shiva, then he mentions the end is last and strongest. Bhajagovindam, 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 Muna Maitreya, you fools and rascals, worship Govinda. Right? But these persons being heretics, then they take it Govinda is Shankaracharya's spiritual master, so worship him, and so they stay within the within that misunderstanding. So Bhava Vrata means those who worship Shiva according to the Vedas. The word Pashanda has already been applied to those not following the Vedas. The curse applies to even those following the Vedas, right? So It's specifically those who don't, but it also has been applied to those who do. These people are called obstacles to authorized scriptures like Bhagavatam, right? Because Bhagavatam is where they really like make a mess, because it's about bhakti and they try to use it to establish impersonal philosophy. So those who are using Bhagavatam and then the Vedic literatures to establish anything but pure bhakti to the Lord, then, you know, then that's an obstacle. That's actually heretical, because it's not the actual position. Because bhakti is the actual point. So that's what he's showing here in this one, how bhakti is being established by, you know, from negating the other things than bhakti. Unauthorized scriptures are scriptures like Sutta Samhita in the Skanda Purana. Right? So those elements that are not accepted, and that aren't establishing the absolute, you know, that Krishna, it means pure bhakti to Krishna, then these are all rejected, you know, like that. Because, yeah, thus it is a fault to worship Shiva independently, since Bhagavatam mentions in the same section that the Lord is the root of the Vedas. Esha eva hi lokanam Shiva panta sanatanaha yam purve chandasantashtur Yad Pramanam Janardanaha. The Vedas, which were followed previously and in which the root is Janardana, are the auspicious eternal path for humanity. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.2.31. Right, so the root is Janardana, not Shiva, not Brahma, right, not Devi. So anyone, it means you have your general Hindus, they worship everybody, but it's not that they're specifically inclined towards anybody. There's, you know, there's the impersonal aspect. They don't mind the Paramatma aspect. You know, they don't really understand things. But beings who are committed that, no, Shiva is supreme above Vishnu, above everybody else, you know, or Shakti is supreme above everybody, then they have a problem. They're the ones that we're talking about, because they completely misjudge these. But those who also worship and all that, then what they talk will mislead people. But it's just a matter of how committed they are. Eshaha refers to the Vedas. Yat Pramanam Janardanam means in which the root is Janardana. Are we doing time? Okay. Vishnu Bhakti is confirmed by reasoning in verses like the following. The one supreme Purusha, accepting the gunas of Prakriti, known as Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, for creation, maintenance, and destruction, is called Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. The best results for the devotees will come from Vishnu, with Shuddha Sattva body. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.23. Right? Because you're dealing, it's so situated in the mode of goodness, but you're worshipping the Lord who is in pure goodness through the processes that are for establishing, you know, pure goodness, right? Because they're for the Lord, there's no other purpose. But we're situated in goodness, so that has the aspect of performance of duty, you know, as a servant of the Lord, we should worship the Lord. But it also can accommodate the external identities, the religious aspects, you know, from the mode of goodness. Then you can say, then you're situated in Vijnana Maya, because you're situated on the platform of goodness with the purpose of the understanding of pure goodness. And that's being applied in bhakti, right? So, and that's what you're trying for. Now, when you have your goodness, but you're not, it's about getting the results and goodness. You get those results that will be enjoyed with Rajas Tamas. That'll be the Dharma Artha Kama. But if it's about goodness, that is to be seen from the platform of pure goodness. You know, so when you're not on that level of understanding, you come down to goodness and you go back up and like that. That's there. But the other one is you're doing that so you can go and you can be, have a better material facility and enjoy that. So then it takes on that passion and ignorance. You know, though it's predominantly goodness, but it's still the passion ignorance elements are not unappreciated. While Vijnana Maya is meant for appreciating pure goodness and going to that platform. So there is a distinction. Right? So Therefore, Vishnu has come to take charge of the mode of goodness. So therefore, that's why it's so nice, so comfortable to use in his service. Because using goodness in Krishna's service, it becomes pure goodness. It's just like I take potatoes, offer them to Krishna, they become transcendental potatoes. Right? But it's potatoes I can use. I can't take an old shoe and offer that to Krishna as bhoga. Right? You know, to eat. No, he doesn't eat shoes. Right? Dogs eat shoes. He doesn't eat shoes. Right? So one has to see is that you're using the platform of goodness in Krishna's service. That makes it pure goodness. So even if you somehow or another don't always see a connection to Krishna, at least you're on the platform of goodness. And from there, it's very easy to be reminded of Krishna and take that seriously. But using other situations, establishing yourself in anamoy, and then throwing in some little ideologies that hint at pranamoy, just to make it sound like you're not a gross materialist, then is not advisable. You know, it's that from that platform, it's very difficult to see the Lord and see things like that. Shiva says in Harivamsa, Hadir Eva Sadad Yeo Bhavadbhi Sattva Samstitahi Vishnu Mantram Sada Vipra Patadvam Jata Keshavam. You who are situated in Sattva should always meditate on Vishnu. O Brahmanas, always recite Vishnu mantra, meditate on Keshava. So that's Harivamsa. Though devotion to Shiva has been explained in this way, in the Vaishnava scriptures, there are prescriptions for worshipping devatas with spiritual forms as servants in the avarnas around the Lord. Footnote 1. Around the Lord's abode are four walls. Around that are concentric walls. On each wall in the eight directions, different sets of personalities are situated. Each set is called an avarna. So you're seeing the Lord and his expansions, and you're doing that kind of worship. Then you can see all the different, you know, concentric circles that go out. They're all centered on Vishnu. They're all centered on Krishna. Then how he expands is that, you know, Balaram and the Chakravyuha, and then you get all of them going out. And so that comes down to, at some point, you get to Shiva and the demigods and all that. So they're part of that, the eight of Varanas, right? Is that what I mentioned? Eight? Well, that says seven, but whatever. All those rings around the Lord. But for our worship, we only don't get into that kind of technical detail. Vaikuntha worship, they generally get into it more. So as we're talking here is the general point for Vaishnavas, you know, and for us specifically, then we, you know, we're worshiping the Lord and the Yogpeet and all that. So then what is going on there, the technical things there, you know, the beach syllable, the Gopal mantra, like that, the Kama Gayatri, these are the ones that we'll go off of, though these are expanding out all other mantras from Kama Gayatri, come Gopal mantra. You know, then you get the Brahma Gayatri, you get all other Gayatris come from there. That means even the demigods' mantras are coming from, expanding from the Brahma, which is expanding from the Kama Gayatri. And so, therefore, if you're worshiping Kama, the Gayatri, you don't need to worship, the ones expanding from the Brahma Gayatri. We'll use the Purusha Shukta. Or those verses that, you know, are recommended by the acharyas, you know, they're either used in worship of Krishna and as, you know, daily or festivals, the nitya or naimitta kriyas, like that. But otherwise, then we don't have to go that far. But for Vaishnavas who do worship the Lord and all the avarnas and all the different positions like that in part of their purvanga karma, then, you know, that's fine, right? Others should be regarded as vibhutis of the Lord, either as the groups of the Lord's Vaikuntha followers or followers assisting his human pastime, just as many persons gathered at Yudhishthira's Yurajasuya sacrifice to please the Lord. Then from Bhagavatam, quote, Prahlad, a portion of the Lord, then worshipped the Prajapatis, Brahma and Shiva, and bowed down with his head, Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10:32. Right? Yudhishthir said, right? So in other words, you're seeing them as associates of the Lord. Nrisimhadev came there, all the demigods came to offer their prayers and everything. So then in that context, then he's respecting them as part of the Lord's associates and this and that. So you can either see them as Shaktis or as Vibhutis like that, or as associates, however it's being seen. Yudhishthira said, O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious, opulent expansions by the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic ceremonies. Please make our endeavor a success, my Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:72:3. The Lord explains, yeah, so he's trying to show us how it's not just Krishna's worship, but it's Krishna and everything connected to him and how he's the center. And that way then, because his whole purpose was to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, the source of everything, over everybody and anyone else. Because otherwise in the Rajasuya, generally they'll be worshiping demigods, depending on who comes, then they'll worship like that, whoever's the senior most. But he wanted to establish that Krishna is the supreme above the demigods. The Lord explains these vibhutis to Satyabhama in Padma Purana, Kartika Mahatmya. Shaivas Sauras Chaganesha Vaishnavas Shakti Pujakaha Mam Eva Prapuvantiha Varsham Bhasagaram Yata Eko Ham Panchada Jata Kridayan Namabih Kaila Deva Datto Yata Kaschit Putravya Vana Namabihi. Worshippers of Shiva, the sun, Ganesh, Vishnu, and Durga eventually attain me, just as the monsoon waters go to the sea. Though one, I have five forms and perform pastimes with those names, just as a person named Devadatta is called with various names as his son and other relatives. Padma Purana 6:88:43-44. Right? So, you're seeing that those who are worshiping the Panchopasana, the Vedic, they're worshiping, eventually they'll get, because we see all living entities will go back to Godhead at some point. But the point is they have to come to that point of the Vaishnav standard, is that they see all those personalities as expansions of the Lord, and the Lord is performing his pastimes through his potencies as manifest as those particular expansions. And so then, in that way, then the Lord's, the creation of the material world and all the activities are going on. But then within that, more importantly, is his pastimes he performs with his pure devotees. That's the actual pinnacle of his pastimes. The other thing that he makes it that, the ant crawls around the room and sniffs around till it finds a grain of sugar. That's his pastime and how his potencies can do all these different things. But that's not the highest form. The highest form is then, okay, he's taken care of there, but Krishna has made the material world for the living entities go back to Godhead. Then even more than that is that the Lord's pastimes in pure love with his devotees. That would be your topmost position. Right? Actually, however, the Vaishnava is the best of all these worshipers, right? So even though of all these who are worshiping the Panchopasana, then the best is the Vaishnav, because he directly sees that this is what's happening. The other ones, they see they're all one and this and that. And they may even say, yes, they've expanded from Vishnu, but they think ultimately that they're all illusion. Everything's impersonal anyway. So they're not really getting to that high of a platform. In Skanda Purana, in discussion between Brahma and Narada, and in the Prahlad Samhita concerning staying awake on Ekadasi, it is said, the worshippers of the sun, where was this from? Padma Samhita. Skanda Puran. Worshippers of the sun, Shiva, Brahma, Durga, or any devata cannot compare with the devotee of the Lord. Right? So, yeah. When it is said that worshippers of the sun, so in the previous verses and points that are being made, you know, so here he's pointing out they cannot compare. They will get there, but the point is that they still can't compare to the Vaishnava, right? So now the Acharya explains, when it is said that the worshippers of the sun and other devatas attain the Lord, it is not because of that worship. Rather, they attain the Lord by pure bhakti arising from japa and austerity performed to please the Lord, by the power of dying at a Vishnu Kshetra. An example is Deva Sharma and Chandra Sharma, worshipping the sun. The Lord says, by the power of the holy place, by their qualities of Dharma, the two surrendering to me were brought to Vaikuntha by my followers. I have been pleased by these two since for their whole life they have worshipped the sun and also performed bhakti, Padma Purana. So they're performing bhakti and they're worshiping the sun as part of, you know, whatever it is that their duties, probably family duties and that they're worshiping the sun, but they know that the Lord is Paramatma, he's in the heart and he's making everything work. So he's actually the sun. He's actually the, you know, source of the Vedas, which is the actual light. That's the actual East, right? You know. The holy place was Mayapuri. When Krishna appeared, they became Satyajit and Akrura. Similarly, the devotees named Pundarika attained the Lord by serving his father. Right? So then they come as these great personalities. So then if we're, you know, if we're thinking that they're regular eternal associates, but then we see that they have these expansions and all that, and then they also take that pastime of coming up. Because someone has to set the example. Attaining the Lord by independent worship of devatas is denied in the Gita. Right, so the independent worship of the devatas, so when it's talking about the devi, the worshiping these, that means in connection with bhakti and serving the Lord. So it's the bhakti that makes it work, not the service to the demigod. Right? You know, we had the one before is that they're just on the platform of karma. They meet devotees. They explain the philosophy. Now they worship those five according to, you know, how the Paramatma is in their hearts and that, and they're servants of the Lord performing their particular duties. So they're devotees and so in this way. But, and that can bring them up farther. But the actual position is when they just take up the position of a devotee and don't bother with the Panchopasana. Right? They just worship Vishnu. You know, or if it's the tradition, the house is there, others are still on a lower platform. They worship Vishnu and then they offer the results to, you know, the prasad to all the others and that way respect them as Vaishnavas. But it's the worship as devotion that makes the work, not because of the worship of the demigod. Okay, so this is from Gita. Those who are devotees of other gods, and who worship them with faith, actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. So that was what Prabhupada was talking about before. It's religion, but it's perverse, because they're worshiping the demigods. They're actually worshiping because Indra is powerful and Shiva is, you know, gives auspicious and all. But the power of ruling in Indra is Krishna's potency. It's coming from Krishna. He gives that power. So it's actually Krishna. You know, then Shiva, his auspiciousness, that's coming from Krishna. So Krishna is actually the auspicious one. So they're worshiping, actually they're worshiping Krishna, but because they don't see it in the context like that, they don't have that understanding. They think they're worshiping the demigod for whatever purpose they're doing it. Therefore, they worship is because of the bhakti that they offer to that particular personality that they get their result. But the point is, it's because they don't see it in connection with the world. They don't get the effect of bhakti. They only get the effect of the activity or the worship that they've done according to how well they've done it. Right? To that degree of endeavor, to that degree of result they're going to get. But the bhakti part of it, they don't get. Right? So that's the point where it's a religion, but it becomes perverse. So we have to be very careful as we perform these things, so they're not connected to Krishna. then it doesn't give the good result. You do it in connection with Krishna, then there. So either it's done for Krishna, or you have to give the result to Krishna after. Right? So if you're doing it for Krishna, then it's obvious that all the way through it's done. You know, before the result, when the result comes, it's all for Krishna. That's the safer position. If you're doing it that later you'll give the result, you're doing it as your work and you're getting the efforts and all that because of your particular identity and all that, and that's fine as long as at the end, then the result's given to Krishna, then everything before is all connected. But it's dependent on when you offer it to Krishna. You did it and you think I'm doing this and it's mine, then until you offer the result to Krishna, it's not been connected. Next, Gita Shloka. I am the enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Those who do not know me as such continue to take birth. Right? So he's the master of all, not these demigods, not someone else. The worship of the devatas go to the devatas, and the worship of the pitris go to the pitris. The worshippers of ghosts go to the ghosts, and the worship of me come to me. Bhagavad Gita 9:23-25. Right? So one wants to avoid the worship like that. You could say, I'm doing a devotional service, but the point is if you don't see them as servants of the Lord, you're not seeing that their potency in that to do this is coming from Krishna. So it's only by their blessings and that, then Krishna may be pleased. But the point is it's, you're only worshiping Krishna. So if you don't, if you're not seeing like that, then you're going to have a problem. And unless your background is that you're coming from family that worships these demigods, and so in the house and the altar, they have all them. So then you see them in that context. Okay. But if you're not, you come to Krishna consciousness without all that background and taking up Krishna consciousness, why would you worship the demigods? Right? That you want to go to the demigods? You know? So yeah, why get distracted? So some good qualities arise by worshiping the followers of the Lord, devatas. It is also an offense to disrespect them. You can't disrespect them, but the point is you don't, there's no need to worship them, right? You know, like the Shris, they don't offend the demigods, they just don't worship. They just are neutral, like that. The Madhvas, then they'll offer respects and all that, so then they'll have that. So that's what the good qualities come here. This is from Bhagavatam. The disciple should learn to have faith in the Bhagavatam, without criticizing other scriptures. He should learn to avoid sinful acts of mind, speech, and body, to speak the truth and to control the mind and external senses. Right? So, therefore, all these different aspects that are situated in goodness, he shouldn't be criticizing other things like that. He should just, you know, and give up all these inauspicious actions of body, mind, and words. He should be absorbed in, you know, have faith in Bhagavatam and faith in pure devotional service and serving like that. And so therefore, when he's reading and hearing about the devotees of the Lord and the Bhagavatam, all the demigods and other great personalities in their relationship with the Lord, then he appreciates their position as servants of the Lord. And in that way, then he'll advance nicely. That's the proper way he's seeing the demigods in that. So you don't have to do any separate work. You want to respect the demigods through that, then read a chapter where the demigods are interacting with the Lord, like the churning of the milk ocean, or, you know, some of these big sacrifices. Indra has a sacrifice and Vishnu comes down and visits, or the, you know, like that. Padma Purana says, the Supreme Lord should always be worshipped. One should not disrespect Brahma, Shiva, and others. He is always worshipped. The others are not disrespected. So if they come up in part of the ritual and all that, then it's there. And if they're not part of the ritual, then they don't need to be included. But that's why also we have, when the lamp, after showing the arti to the Lord, and you turn around and, you know, to the devotees and all that, the demigods or anybody who happens to be there, you're respecting all them as part and parcels of the Lord. So as we see here, is the Lord is complete with this whole understanding. So it's after that technically the lamp becomes prasad. You know, you've respected the Lord in all his forms. So you're approaching him how we can approach, then you're the Lord, and then all his expansions. Right? So that kind of understanding then is a more mature understanding, right? Of seeing things properly. Everything in Krishna, Krishna and everything. So that's supposed to be the result of dikshas, that you come to that platform of seeing the Lord and the devotees. But if it's you're the kind that you show the flowers to Krishna, and then you wouldn't want to, you know, but you don't accept his expansions, and then you take the flowers off and put them on Krishna's feet, then stand back, now offer them to the gurus and all that, then take some off, you know, then to Prabhupada, then take some off, and then Tulsi takes some off, and this and that, then grudgingly show it to the devotees, and then kind of put it down, and now that one's for them. And that can't be put on the altar. If you did, that would be the, you know, most sinful of sins. That just means you're dealing with a very, very neophyte understanding of the philosophy. You don't really understand the relationship between the Lord and the devotees and his expansions and his energies and how all that works, how he's simultaneously non-different and different. So it's when you finish everything all to all the devotees and that, now you take the flowers and put on Krishna. Then you can go down, some for Krishna, then some for everybody else, and come down. And then put some out for the devotees. Like that. But this other thing that's made up, that's a speculation made up by one devotee. It's not in Shastra. He just made it up because he thought, oh, like that, just like, oh, you're showing the circles. Why are you doing that? You know, worshiping Prabhupada, you know, in the arti, you know, or in the offering in the boga. Oh, but then you're offering to him, then you're, you know, then his remnants go to up the like this, and Krishna gets the remnants like that. That's bogus. You just have to offer it straight to Krishna. So Artik, you just pick up the lamp, show it straight to Krishna. Like that. Completely bogus. There's no Shastra anywhere. No Sampradaya does that. You can say, no, but you know, in the Shris, then they go into the deity room, they pick up. What did they do for 20 minutes before they walked into the deity room? They sat down, they worshiped Guru, the Parampara, everybody like that, all the prayers and everything like that. Now, having worshiped and all that to approach the Lord, now you can pick up the lamp and show it to the Lord. But if you're not doing that, that's bogus. We do the Purvanga Karma with each item, right? Rather than do all the Purvanga Karma, then all the, we're doing it, you know, together. We're picking it up. I'm approaching Krishna through the Acharyas and all that, then showing it to the Lord. Then, you know, it comes down through all his expansions and the devotees, because they're all part and parcel of him, and they're also his, you know, opulences and everything. Then the devotees who have come, everybody, you don't know who's out there. You see, you know, some devotees, but, you know, like at Ratha Yatra, then Prabhupada was laughing once, because then the devotees asked why, and he was saying Narad Muni came to see the Malechas dancing, you know, so then, you know, like that. So you don't know who's there. And all that together, now you've worshipped the Lord. Otherwise, if you just think, I just show it to him and that's the worship, that is a neophyte. Like, you know, stamped 100% neophyte. And it's not that pleasing to the Lord. It's better than nothing. But it's not where you could be going. So that's why then Kapila Muni says in the third canto that those who see only the Lord and don't see all of the living entities in connection and don't respect, their worship is not that pleasing to me. You know, means that pleasing being what it can be. That he's a devotee, that's Krishna is very happy with that. But what he could do with that in the association, the instructions that are given, that he's missing out because he's not applying himself. Okay. So, yeah, Gotamiyatana. So you have to see it both ways. It's that, oh, so then we worship it. No, no, it's about in the connection with the Lord. Oh, so no demigods, they're all nonsense. No, they're all devotees of the Lord. Oh, so then we worship them. That's all that. It's just we have to understand the balance. Gotamiyatantra. The person who worships Krishna criticizes the devatas. Whatever dharma he has accomplished is destroyed. What to speak of attaining dharma in the future? Right? Everything he has, and he did that through his worship. He won't get anything in the future for it. And in fact, he destroys what he had from the past. So you can't disrespect. So that's why there has to be that proper respect to see everybody there in connection with Krishna. Then from Bhagavatam, may Hayagriva protect me from disrespecting the devatas when going on a path. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.8.17, right? So I'll deal properly. I have all the different respect and all that for everybody. And I see, you know, everything in accordance with what the Shastra recommends. And so then I'm behaving nicely as I'm going. I'm seeing the Lord, you know, I'm thinking of the Lord and thinking of how he's expanded as everything here. So when I walk down the road, I can always see the Lord. And I'm seeing that through the different manifestations of, you know, all the plants. So the moon god is taking care of them. You know, and so then, you know, and that's on, and, you know, his Lord is Aniruddha. So therefore the mind, I should always be thinking of Krishna. You know, so you're always, always absorbed. So you have all these nice ways. So it's the Vaishnavism means it's the most mature position. And then within that most mature position, one can mature one's own understanding up to the point of, you know, coming to the platform of prema. Then, you know, from that platform of love of Krishna, then everything works very nicely. Right? So that's always the position. Yeah. Good. Okay. So end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.